Let's pray, hey? Lord, we want to thank you this morning for the ministry of your Spirit amongst us. It's so real. We pray, Lord, as we open your word together, that your Spirit would minister to each one of us. Because we thank you for divine exchange. You turn our mourning into dancing and our sorrow into joy. You give us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And so this morning we pray for chains to be broken, for hearts to be unlocked, for revelation to come, for a quickening of your Spirit, O God, that we would continue in this journey from glory to glory to glory into the image of Christ. And the people said, amen, amen. We're going to get into the word, sonship, part two. Who enjoyed last week? Did you get something out of it? If you weren't here last week, you probably need to go back and listen to it. You can listen to it on Spotify. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts or on the website. Please do that because God is speaking to us. You know, we can fill churches. We can fill lives with program after program after program after program. Event after event after event after event. You know, and some things are needed. I'm not saying that they're not. But you know what's really going to reach this city? Is the people of God knowing who they truly are in Christ. Healed people do heal people. Transformed people do see transformation of other people. That's what happens. And so God is taking us on this journey because he wants us to understand who we are in Christ. Amen. And then we live out of that place where addictions get broken, chains get broken, fear, anxiety doesn't have a place in us anymore because we are growing more and more into the image of Christ. Is there an amen? So last week we started our series on sonship because biblically sons represent the Father. Now, the Greek word for sons, as we talked about last week, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. All creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. That Greek word means to represent the character or the nature of the parent, Father God. Now, that's not a new revelation, but it's an important revelation that I don't think we understand. Because in the natural, you see it a lot, don't you? Like your son, you go, gee, I see your dad in you. And sometimes the sons are like, oh, dear. Not sure if I want to be like dad. Oh, I got thumbs up, so I'm good. I'm good. But that's what it should be. That's what it should be. That we represent the character or the nature of God. And that's why Jesus could say in John 14:9, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because he was the exact representation of the character and nature of God. Now, we could never do that in our own strength, could we? There is no way that we could ever represent the character and nature of God in our own strength. We could try it, and we could try it, and we're going to just keep falling down. So God sent his Spirit to dwell in each one of us. And we just need to learn to yield to the work of the Spirit in our life. We're going to talk a bit about that this morning. This revelation of that you are accepted in the Beloved, that you are loved, that you are secure, that nothing can separate you from his love. This revelation of sonship brings transformation in your heart and in your life. You begin to think differently. You begin to walk differently. You begin to speak differently. I've found over the years, and I want to say, I'm not there yet. As I spend the time in the Word and in prayer, man, it's just like, I don't think you realize that what you have to go through in your walk with God to be able to speak the Word of God. Now, there may be some people that just speak the Word of God because that's what the Scripture says, but I think you've got to live the Word of God. You don't want to just speak something that you're not walking in, or at least understanding that you're starting to walk in it. You don't want to speak about it. God said, when he created mankind, he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. That's what he said. Let us make man in our image or in our likeness. Now, he wasn't talking about his size, and he wasn't talking about his skin color, and he wasn't talking about what his hair looked like. He was talking about his character and his nature. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Male and female, he created them. And I think that is a beautiful picture, because as a husband and a wife come together as one flesh. As I've said before, there are things that I see in my wife, who's not here today because Malachi is unwell. It's our wedding anniversary of 30 years on Tuesday, by the way. When I look at her, I see aspects of the character and nature of God. And it's together we can be that more than I can be by myself. You see, in Genesis 3:1, when the serpent came and he asked this question, did God really say? Now, I don't know about you. We're talking about identity and sonship, but I don't know about you, but there's probably plenty of times where the enemy comes to you and kind of makes you think, did God really say? And this is why we need the Word of God, and we need to know the Word of God. We need to stand upon the Word of God, because we can say, yes, God did say. There's an issue in the church, in our nation, and it's that people don't know the Word of God, and that they don't know how to divide it correctly. But we need to know the Word of God, that we can stand upon the Word. Is there an amen? You see, the thing about this is, when he said to them in Genesis 3, verse 5, he says, in fact, God knows that when you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Well, hang on a minute. Adam and Eve were already like God. They were representing the true character and nature of God. And the enemy came in and tried to make them think like, feel like they had to work for it. Now, this is the lie that started in the garden that has continued throughout the generations, that we have to work for it. And in fact, the overflow of the sin is they had to go and work. And that lie that we have to work for it has been reversed in Christ. Because what we couldn't do for ourselves, God has done through us, for us, through Jesus Christ. And we have received the spirit of sonship by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And as I said last week, we are not learning, we are not working towards being loved. We're not working towards being accepted. We are learning how to live from it. That is the position, because you are loved. That Jehovah Jireh song, I've never been more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I could do to let you down. God is the keeper of the covenant. He keeps it. It's not us. We can't keep it in our own strength. He has. And that's why he sent his spirit of sonship into our hearts. And it says it is a guarantee, a down payment, guaranteeing what is to come. If you've given your life to Jesus, if he is your Lord and your King, you bowed the knee before him, you've repented and you've come, and you've received the gift of his spirit, the gift of sonship, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the enemy comes to you and says, no, you've got to repent again, you've got to confess again, no, you're not forgiven, you can stand on the Word of God and say, I am forgiven, I have been set free. Now we have to learn to outwork it. And that's the bit. There is a reward in heaven. We probably shouldn't go there today because I'm going to go off tangent if I go there. But it's clearly said in 1 Corinthians 3 that if we build with gold, silver, or costly stones, or we live our lives with wood, hay, and straw on this earth, there is a reward that we either receive or lose out on in heaven. So my encouragement to you today is get rid of the things of the world, put your eyes on Jesus, and learn how to live with gold, silver, and costly stones. Learn how to build your life with gold, silver, and costly stones that you would receive your full reward. The enemy wanted to move Adam and Eve from that position that they were like God, from that fact that they were like God, putting a lie in there to make them think that if they did something, eat the fruit of this tree, that they would become like God. That's what happened is there was a heart of an orphan. Because an orphan works for something, not lives from it. You know, before Christ, we lived out of our soul realm. Our mind, our will, our emotions. That was what was seated on the throne of our lives. What I want, how I feel, I'll do what I want to do. It's my body. It's my choice. I'll do whatever I want. All that kind of stuff. I'm not feeling love right now. Well, that's it. The marriage is over. I'm going to go and have another marriage. You know, we live out of the soul realm. But born again of the Spirit, we're called to live by the Spirit. We're not living out of our mind, our will, our emotions anymore. We're living by the Spirit. And that's the essence of the new covenant, that He sent His Spirit, and His Spirit will move us to follow Him. It is a yielding to God because Jesus is King. His kingdom come, His will be done, starts in me. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus is King. No longer do I want to live by the soul realm. No longer do I want to live by my mind, my will, my emotions. I want to live by the Spirit. And there's a growing up in that. As we learn to live by the Spirit, we are representing the character and nature of God more and more. So live by the Spirit. Do not gratify the flesh, but live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. In the parable of the prodigal son, the older son clearly shows that he has not understood sonship. The older son clearly shows that he's an orphan, even though he's got a dad. When the younger son came back and the father restored him into the house, put the robe on, the sandals on, the ring on, said, come on, let's throw a party. In verse 25 of Luke 15, we read this. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants, and he questioned what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told them, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And here's the orphan spirit at work right here. The older son became angry. Jealous. Envious. Angry. So his father came out. This father is a good father. He waited all those years for that son. And he goes out to see the other son. The father replied to him. He replied to the father. Look, I have been slaving all these years for you. You see, orphan mindset. I've been slaving for you all these years. A son actually knows that he is serving and there is a family inheritance that he is establishing and building up. If you have a mindset that you feel like that serving makes you feel like you're slaving, then there's something that needs to shift in you. Because to serve is not to be a slave. If you know who you are, the desire is to serve. The desire is to bless. The desire is to encourage. The desire is to help. If you see it as slavery, then something needs to shift. So he said, I have been slaving all these years and I have never disobeyed your orders. Oh, I wonder if that was really true. In his thinking, it was true. I wonder if it was really true. Self-righteousness is also an aspect of the orphan spirit. Self-righteousness. Huh. Because you're building yourself up. And he said, and yet you never gave me a goat that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf. He's got the fattened calf and I didn't even get a goat. I just wanted that little goat. But you gave him the prize. Son, he said, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and now is alive again. He was lost and is found. I spoke about this before. Son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. He could not see. He had everything, but he could not see. And that's what the enemy wants to do to Christians. That's what the enemy wants to do to believers. You have everything. Everything. Scripture says you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The Word of God says that He has given you everything you need for life and godliness. You have everything you need. But we're blinded to it. So we feel like we have to work for it. And we feel like we have lack everywhere. And we feel like when someone comes before us and says, will you pray for me? You go, no, I can't do that. Or when the scripture is read that everyone can prophesy, no, I can't do that. You feel like you should be doing something, serving the Lord in some way. No, I can't do that. It's because we're blinded. We need it taken away. That son, that older son, had everything. He had everything. He was with the Father. He had everything, but he just couldn't see it. Well, it's time for the veil to be removed. It's time for us to realize that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places and that we have authority, that we have purpose. We are not holding on, looking for Jesus to come back. We are seeing his kingdom come more and more and more and more until he comes. We are not holding on. We are gaining momentum and taking ground. Is there an amen in the house today? Every aspect of the orphan thinking, rejection, slave, lack, gone in Christ, because you are accepted in the Beloved. So a good prayer to pray would be, Lord, help me to show everything that you've given to me in Christ. That'd be a good place to start. It's interesting, isn't it? When you're brought up with in some environments, and I think even with some aspects of religion. And that's why I say, well, we're not into religion, we're into relationship. Because it's like you've tried to open yourself up to somebody. You're trying to bring some stuff into the light. You're looking for help. You're looking for support in the journey. And you just get shut down. You get condemned. You get judged. You get criticized. How many have felt that in their life? I reckon there's probably more of us if we're probably honest before the Lord. And so we have this thing where it's like we play this game of hide and seek. Because you know what happened when sin came into the world? What was the thing that Adam and Eve did? They hid. They hid. They hid. And I don't know about you, but there are Christians all over the place that hide. They're going through struggles, so they hide. They're walking through a valley. I'll hide. I've got something that I'm struggling with inside. I'm just going to hide it. But in sonship, you can actually run to the Father. You don't need to hide. It's that song, Run to the Father. Run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again and again. You don't need to run away from God. You need to run to Him. And I would say that you don't, that this is part of my heart. You don't need to run from. You can run to. This is a safe place. This is a safe place for people to get set free of stuff. Is there an amen? This is a safe place for people to feel loved and accepted and set free of those very things that they have been struggling with. In Ephesians 4, from verse 30, we read this, do not grieve the Spirit of God. We could probably sit there for a while, couldn't we? Do not grieve the Spirit of God. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness. So the question is, well, how do we grieve? Well, this is example of how we grieve. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, shouting, slander be removed from you along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. Therefore, this is chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as His dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ. So there it comes back to the character and the nature again. Put off those things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't walk in those things that grieve the Holy Spirit, the things of the flesh. Don't walk in them anymore, but rather be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God. As a son of God, that is your calling, to represent His character and His nature to a lost, broken, hurting, demonic world. We're in this series because the Lord wants to set us more free, that we could represent His nature. Is there an amen this morning? It's time for believers to mature, to get off the milk and get into some solid food. Solid food is for the mature. We don't just want milk. We want some steak. You want to chew it. You want to chew over it. It's good for you. It's good for the Word of God to confront you. It's good for the Word of God to challenge you. Is there an amen? It's really good when you get into the Word and you feel convicted. It's really good when you get into the Word of God and you're like, oh, oh, it's really good. It's good for you. I think some people are like, what planet are you on, Tim? I'm not sure. Don't know. It's good for you. So good. You know, I used to think that way about certain foods. I didn't like broad beans. I didn't like spinach. And I didn't like beetroot, but I tell you what, they're really good for you. So I just started to eat them anyway. And now I actually like them. I actually like them. I heard that green tea was pretty good for you. Man, that was like in my mouth. But then eventually I'm like, so now I have green tea every morning. You know, the very things that you go, no, no, no. They're like, I love when the Word of God challenges me. But the thing about this is, and I want to say it again. I am nowhere near representing the character and nature of God where I believe God calls us to. But the only way that you can get into the Word of God and be wanting to be challenged is to know that you are loved and to know that you're a son. Because if you have any orphan tendencies, you want to run away from that which challenges you. And people spend half their life running away from things only to have it find them again. Maybe that's you today. Some things have happened in your life and you run away from them because you think that's the answer, but then they come around again and you find the same thing somewhere else. And sometimes marriages can be like that. That one didn't work, so I'm going for another one, but then the same things happened again. Heal people. You can only love someone if you know that you're loved. When you know that you are loved, that's when you can truly love somebody, even in the messiness. The root of an orphan heart, I don't know what the time is. I believe we're going okay. The root of an orphan heart, lack, rejection, all this stuff that we talk about is fear. I don't give to others because there's an underlying fear that I have lack, and if I give what I have, I won't have enough. That guy that put everything out of his wallet into the box down the back, it's like, wow. We battle with stuff, you know, especially with the climate that we're living in, you know, where everything costs an arm and a leg nowadays. Like eggs, like a dozen eggs. Someone said that was like 12 or 13 bucks. That's like a dollar an egg, you know. But it's like, do I let fear come in and say, I'm not going to have enough, so then I start to withhold, or do I continue to give? Because the word says, and I trust God anyway. There's been times in our walk where we haven't had much. Plenty of times. And there's been plenty of times where I've been challenged in my giving in those moments where I haven't had hardly anything. But I want to say that God is faithful. In everything, through everything, with everything. You see, but we need to deal with this fear thing. Is there an amen this morning? Because what happened is when Adam and Eve, when sin came into the world, they hid. They were fearful. And that's what drives the heart of an orphan is fear, rejection, fear, lack, fear. It's fear, 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 fear. What a beautiful entry this morning that Tom and Lita did about trust. We were talking about this the other night. You know, we love to quote that verse of scripture for those that were in Sunday school when they were little. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. It sounds really good when it rolls off the tongue, but it's a whole different story to put rubber on it. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, in everything, with everything, through everything. I'm going to trust the Lord and lean not on my own understanding. Oh. Trusting him. You think you trust him and then you go through something and then you realize, oh yeah, there's another level of trust, isn't there? Anyway, I'm getting slightly off track. You know, before I start to wind this thing up, You know, there's other, but what's in here changes you. It is living and it is active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit. Do not ever believe the lie that it's just a book with a bunch of words in it. And it's just like all the other books. No, it's not. It is God-breathed. It is breathed upon by God. Every word. Every word. In 2 Corinthians 3, we finished off last week with, as we behold the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory. Whatever you behold, you become. Yeah? If there's someone here today that's struggling with addiction, whatever you behold, you become. Needs to be dealt with. The heart issues need to be dealt with. And as you behold the Lord, as you spend time in His Word, as you spend time in the Selah moment, in the pause in His presence moment, as you spend time in worship, as you spend time with Him, you are changed from glory to glory to glory into the image of Christ by the work of His Spirit in our lives. Nick's communion message is so right and so real and so raw. We try with all our might because deep down we know that that's not right. But actually we just need to yield to God and behold Him, and He does it. It is not by might or by power, it is by the Spirit of God. Come on. Okay. Nearly there. I'm turning to 1 John 4. This fear thing. Because the Word of God calls us to walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. And in fact, Paul said to the church in Rome, he said, put on the armor of light. So when you're walking in the light, there's actually protection. And what I mean by that is that if you are struggling with something, as soon as you actually confide with someone and say, will you pray with me? Will you help me with this? You've actually brought it into the light and you've disempowered the enemy. But when you hide it, you are giving the enemy access to control and manipulate you in that area. But when you are brought into, when it's brought into the light, it's the start of your deliverance and your healing. So let's not be people of darkness. Let's not be people of fear. Let's not be people that hide, but let's be people that know that we are loved and walk in the light. Is there an amen? 1 John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. This is not just a head thing that I know about God. This is that I have knowledge of God, that I know Him. And therefore, because I know Him or I am known by Him, I can love. Is there an amen? The one who does not love doesn't know God. People can go around and say, I'm a Christian. But I'm like, where's the love? Where's the love? The character and the nature of God, where is it? They don't know God. They might know about God, but they don't know Him. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another in this way. Love makes the move. Ooh. In verse 16, we read 1 John 4, and we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Now, there's the changer. We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. There's my anchor point. I have come to know the love God has for me. I have been blessed over 25 years of ministry to see people that have been in church for 20 years, for 30 years, get a revelation of the love of God for them and get set free. And I believe it's true for more and more and more and more people to get a revelation how high, how deep, how wide, how long is the love of God for you, that nothing can separate you from the love of God because you are found in Jesus Christ. That's where the love is, that you've been brought into a love relationship between the Father and the Son, and nothing can take you from that place. Even on my worst day where I feel like I want to run and hide, I am loved. That just messes with my head. Because in a human way, when I'm not good, people walk away from me. But God doesn't. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this way, love is made complete, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Therefore, there is no fear in love. And there's the moment. Fear and love. There's your tug of war. Fear, love. That's the battle. Rejection is because of fear. Slave mentality, because of fear. Lack, because of fear. Poverty, because of fear. Self-promotion, because of fear. Self-affirmation, because of fear. Love, fear. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. Because his perfect love casts out all fear. I love the word cast. Not that I've ever fished much in my life. A few times. We used to take the boys when they were little down and catch them something. Flathead. Some other fit. Yeah, anyway. Past. Past. No. You don't belong in me anymore. That thought doesn't belong in me anymore. This reaction doesn't belong in me anymore. No, it's gone. Danielle, I hope you don't mind me saying, but in the worship team gathering on Wednesday night, she was talking about years and years ago when she was struggling with some things, and her pastor told her to actually do a prophetic act when a thought came in that made you feel like you're not loved, you're not this, or whatever the case or the battle is. She goes, no, according to the word of God, I take you captive and I make you obedient to Christ. And you speak the word of God back into you. Take a hold of it. Take a hold of it. Fear has no place in you. His perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not yet made complete in love. And I don't know about you, but that's where we draw. That's just pushes me back into Jesus. What area do I fear? What do I fear? What is happening in my life that I react this way? What is happening in my life that I live this way? What is going on? No, I'm going to press into Jesus. The answer is Jesus. I'm going to press into Jesus. Less of me, more of him. So my prayer for you today, the music team, if you want to come. You know, over the years, I've come to realize that orphans demand, sons wait to receive. You talk about trust. If I trust that God's going to fulfill his purposes for me, I'm willing to wait. And if I do not believe that, then I will try and manipulate things to get to where I think I need to get to. And I think people can use social media that way nowadays. Self-promotion, self-affirmation. Sons can wait. Orphans promote themselves. Sons honor. Mark challenged us about that a few weeks ago. The Australian culture has much to do with dishonor. We need to be a people of honor because the Word of God says, honor one another above yourselves. Orphans go. Sons are sent. Orphans can't wait, so they just go. I remember that story that Mark Crawford told me, and I've shared it a few years ago, but it just, there's a guy, his name's Paul. I won't say his last name. He was with Mark in the ministry in Launceston in Tasmania, and he had a calling. He felt God was telling him to go to New Zealand, him and his wife, pack up his family, his wife, and move to New Zealand. The land of chips and fish. And then you put them in the bin. We love our brothers and sisters from we got lots of New Zealanders here. Well, actually, you're not New Zealanders anymore, you're kingdom, you're people of God. So that's what it is here. So anyway, but he came to Mark and he said, Mark, I'm not going to go to New Zealand until you tell me it's time to go to New Zealand. Ooh, that would go against everything in my fleshly being. And in fact, talking to Paul, there were times when he's like, that's it, I've had enough, I just want to go. But he waited and waited and waited. You could say that we shouldn't do that, but he was trusted God. And he had this relationship with Mark that they were like this. So he was trusting God in the process. You know, he was so glad that he waited rather than just went. He was so glad that he was sent because in the meantime, God had orchestrated so many things in the background that he got to where he needed to be, all the doors flying open wide, and things just happened. Domino effect, domino effect, domino effect. When we go out of time, when we go in our own effort, when we go in our own strength, things are just like, oh. But when it's God's time, and I'm not saying there's not hardships, there's not things we go through, I'm not saying that, but God just makes a way where there seems to be no way. I want to close with these two prayers. I could honestly stand here and talk for a long time, but I think that's enough. Ephesians 1, Paul prayed this prayer. Actually, can we stand if you're able to? If not, that's totally fine. This is the Apostle Paul praying for the church in Ephesus, and there's two prayers, and this is one of them. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Father, I pray that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened in this area of sonship, knowing who we are in you, knowing everything that you have done for us. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, that is God's love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, the height, and the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge. Oh, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy anymore. Don't let him trick you into thinking that you don't have something that you already have. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Stand upon the word of God, because you are in the Beloved. Maybe you need to say that over yourself today. I am in the Beloved. I think that was only half of you. I am in the Beloved, and nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's worship with that song. Fits perfect.